The next episode that you're about to listen to...
In the Cliffley Saga.
In the Cliffley Saga. It was called The Love Below, I remember, Dave. And it was...
This was your first one.
This was my first.
This was when Cliffley was officially mentioned.
Yeah, I think this is when Cliffley started finding its background, its feet.
Its interesting characters and...
Yes.
Sausage festivals in this one, I think.
Yes. So we brought in... From what I remember with this one, was it the first time we saw... The Butcher, John Fugden.
Famous John Fugden. Fugdens of Cliffley. And Father Gerald.
Father Gerald, who is a recurring character, yes. I'm trying to... It may have been that long, but I know this established some recurring characters.
It also set the underlying theme for one of the on-running stories with the body that was found... really being a proper human body.
Yeah, there was... there's just safe to say there's a lot of dark things happening in Cliffley.
Yes.
Especially around the church and around Father Gerald. So, yes.
And sausage meat for
and
John
sausage
Fulton.
Meat. Yes, enjoy the Love Below. I don't know if you've got any more thoughts before we play the story.
No. Dave? Just, another Cliffley story. The second one.
Yep.
It fleshes it a bit out, I think, this one.
Yes.
You definitely will remember some of the characters in stories coming up after this. So
very good. Enjoy.
Enjoy.
Dave Judas. Mooney. The Empty-Headed Podcast.
One day, like every day, Trevor went down to his allotment to tend to his prized vegetables.
Trevor, the prized vegetable man.
He got on with everyone down at the allotments and would often chitter-chatter with the other locals, riveting conversations about who had the biggest cabbages in town.
Riveting. Trevor obviously doesn't get out much apart from going to his allotment then, does he? If he has
not.
Riveting conversations about
not
cabbages.
Not by the sounds of that. On this day, it was slightly overcast, and there was only one other person to talk to. Gerald, the local vicar.
Ooh.
A posh but nice man. A posh but nice man, thought Trevor every time they engaged. Good morning to you, Trevor, Gerald exclaimed from behind a row of runner beans. Hey up, Trevor nodded back, whilst muttering in a northern accent. Fine day, vicar.
Beautiful.
Gerald moved closer whilst gnawing on a dirty carrot.
I hope he hasn't just nicked this from Trevor's prized carrot patch. Carrot patch? Do they grow in patches?
Don't have a clue, mate, when it comes to lawns. Yeah. So, Gerald the vicar moved closer whilst gnawing on a dirty carrot. Would be a fine day if it wasn't for the bad news I heard this morning. Ethel, whom comes to my congregation on a Sunday, hasn't been seen for 2 days. It's very alarming.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear, vicar. I'm sure she'll turn up. She's got all her faculties still. A fine lady. Happen she's just visiting family in Otton, Trevor questioned. Good point, old chap, said Gerald. Ta-ta for now, Trevor. I'll be sure to keep my eyes and ears open and let you know if I hear anything.
Good.
Cheers, vicar, Trevor muttered, giving the man of cloth a thumbs up. Gerald the vicar skipped gaily down the lane, which was strange as he had arrived to the allotment on a mobility scooter.
He's a benefit cheat, isn't he?
I've lost my place here. Trevor went on with his morning, sowing his seed and watering his crop, proud of how the allotment was looking. There was still one corner of the allotment that needed tending to, so he was going to work until lunch, pop to the shop for his favourite sandwich, a fish paste and beef baguette.
That sounds then absolutely disgusting.
Then come back in the afternoon and finish off the corner he had been neglecting for the past week.
The bastard.
Good day, Trev. The usual, said Mrs. Jenkins, as Trevor entered the local sandwich shop. Aye, lass, that'll be grand. I'll have some barbecue sauce on it today, though, love.
Oh, my word.
Trevor licked his lips. As Mrs. Jenkins prepared Trevor's fish paste, beef and barbecue sauce laden baguette, Trevor perused the day's newspapers on a nearby shelf. He flipped to the Lonely Hearts section. Perhaps a lady he could court would appear in there. For Trevor had been lonesome for quite some time.
Oh dear, get on well with Barry.
He would. Gone very well with Barry.
With his taste in sandwiches.
Here you go, Trev, yelled Mrs. Jenkins, distracting Trevor from his lonely thoughts. It's fair pat, that baguette, she continued. It's spilling out, so just suck on the ends before you eat it. Okay, love. Cheers, Trevor said, inspecting the sodden paper bag.
Oh, my word.
Trevor turned to leave the shop when Mrs. Jenkins exclaimed, Oh, Trevor, still haven't heard anything about Ethel. She's been missing for over 2 days now. I know, terrible news, Trevor replied. I'll be sure to keep my eyes and ears open. Ta-ra, love. And with that, Trevor exited the shop.
He's probably covered in all the dripping from his sandwich now, isn't he?
Barbecue sauce dripped down Trevor's chin. And a thick slab of beef limped out of the packed baguette, which was slipping from his arthritic grip.
Hang on, he's got arthritis and he's got prize-winning cabbages still.
Oh, yeah. What a trooper. That's oh, shit! Thing. He shouted as beef hit the muddy track below. Well, time to get back to work, he thought. Trevor went to the shed, briefly looked at his calendar, which had been decorating the shed door for years, since 1993, in fact. He figured eventually the days would fall back in line in years to come, so he decided to keep it. Plus, he liked the pictures. It was his favourite unauthorised Michael Ball calendar.
Michael Ball.
Trevor grabbed his trusty shawl and paced up to the overgrown patch he was meaning to tend to all week. He thought if he can clear the weeds and turn over the soil, he could perhaps lay a good foundation to plant some Irish potatoes.
Irish potatoes. They like the taters, don't they, Aaron?
They do. Sweat dripped from Trevor's brow. He made the mistake of wiping his eyes, which still had remnants of Miss Jenkins' barbecue sauce on. Bastard! He exclaimed, as his eyes stinged like a bitch.
Nobody wants a barbecue eating sweaty hands in the right thing.
A bead of sweat dripped off the end of Trevor's nose. For an old chap, he had relatively good eyesight, and followed it as it hit the ground below. The bead of sweat seemed to glisten in the mid-afternoon sun. It hadn't landed on mud or a discarded marathon wrapper, which Snickers were known as back in the day then. Alas, it had landed on something metallic.
Alas.
Alas. What the chuff? Trevor said, as he clawed at the shiny object below, his fingers and thumbs tearing at the earth.
Shame he doesn't own a metal detector.
Exactly, yeah. Could have done with that. Trevor couldn't believe what he was seeing. It was a pendant. But it was not just a pendant. It was a pendant attached to a body.
Oh my God.
Trevor looked around. Nobody was in sight to call for help, as the majority of the village were attending a sausage festival.
But Trevor, what's that a village is?
But Trevor didn't get on with the organiser, John Fuckton. So he decided against attending this year, and had told John he had mixed feelings about the quality of sausage meat leading up to Brexit.
Oh dear.
Trevor had also left his phone at home. Jesus wept, he muttered under his breath. Trevor dug some more and realised the body was face down in a ditch. He thought for the sake of dignity, he could not leave the body exposed and decided he would try to identify the body, pop it in the shed for safekeeping away from the foxes, squirrels and gypsies that frequented the area, before heading to the sausage festival for help.
We all know a gypsy who's looted a car, sorry, yeah. Though, and don't we?
Trevor reached into a shallow grave and rolled the body over. Yeah, friggin' heck! It's Ethel, he shouted, as he identified the missing woman. Oh, not dear Ethel, Trevor whispered, disappointingly. Should have said that quieter.
Carried the torch for her.
Trevor lifted Ethel's lifeless body up and started manoeuvring towards a shed. Just then, a voice came from two allotments over. Here, mate. She looks like she's had a few shandies. It was local chav and troublemaker Raymond Scrott. Trevor panicked. How must this look, he thought to himself. I can't ask that guy for help. He'll start all kinds of trouble. Trevor took the executive decision to follow through with his plan of putting Ethel's body in the shed. He didn't want any interference from Raymond.
Not Raymond Scrott.
Bad lad. Yeah, she's okay, lad. Just had a few sherbets this aft. Just taking her home now, Raymond. See you tomorrow. Trevor said while still taking the weight of the corpse he was cradling. Yeah, mate, I know how she feels. Here, you don't have 10 pence for a cup of tea, do you? Trevor just shook his head, and Raymond scarpered off. Close call, he thought. God knows how that would have escalated. He simply didn't trust kids from broken homes, and Raymond Scrott's home was a shit house. Trevor hauled Ethel's body into the shed Raymond. And laid her on the floor, closing the door. He thought the best course of action was to head to the sausage festival to alert the locals as to what had happened and perhaps borrow a mobile phone to call the police.
So there's no local police officers attending the sausage festival?
Well, that's a shame. It's not the sort of thing that's going to, you know, there's going to be trouble.
They've got Raymond Scrott to be apprehending rather than tasting some sausage, aren't they?
Exactly. Hammond organ music played in the distance, and red and white bunting paved the way towards the sausage festival entrance. However, Trevor didn't have to venture that far before he was stopped in his tracks. Despite the horrific incident he was currently involved in, part of Trevor was happy he didn't have to pay the £2.50 entry fee to the festival.
Scandalous.
It was sausage festival organiser John Fuckton standing in his way, holding a tray of the biggest bratwurst Trevor had ever laid his eyes on.
Bratwurst.
Move out of the way, Trevor. I've got to get these bangers back to the judging tent. Potential winners, these, you know. Trevor was disorientated and just wanted this nightmare to be over. John, there's something to matter up to allotments.
Hello.
Trevor said, trying to keep Fuckton's attention. I know, Trevor. Raymond Scrott's just been down here telling everyone how you've been dancing around with a boozed-up hussy next to Radish Patch. News travels fast around these parts, you know. Darling. And watch him. He's been stealing Sandra's spuds. No, you don't understand, John, Trevor said, trying to get a word in edgeways. Yeah, he came bounding down here, did Raymond, from allotments, trying to get into the festival and with some turnips he'd obviously nicked from up there. Said something about how he'd get me some more, but he said he got scared by a drunk woman staring out of a shed at him. Anyway, gotta shoot, babes. John skipped back into the festival.
Trevor, they like skipping away, don't they?
They do.
It's a very cheery village.
It's a very, very cheery village. Everyone skips. John skipped back into the festival. Trevor would normally have questioned the babe comment with him nearing his 90s. But today, he let it slide because what John Fuckton had just mentioned confused him a lot. Trevor had laid Ethel's body down in the shed. So why had Raymond reported her standing up? A trick of the light. A ghostly apparition. Or was she still alive? Trevor started walking back up the hill to the allotment, shaking his head. Just what is going on, he thought to himself.
He could be having a breakdown if he's 90.
He could. By now it was getting dark. Luckily, Trevor had a mag-like torch on his fob. He clambered over the stile which led to the allotment. He could hear a tapping sound coming from inside the shed. Trevor opened the door both slowly and gently, worried what might grate him. To his shock and horror, there was Ethel. As described by Raymond, facing the window, stood upright with her back to Trevor. Ethel, can you hear me, love? Trevor trembled. Thank God you're not dead. Thank God I found you, Ethel. Ethel was unresponsive, so Trevor approached her and tapped her on the shoulder. Her arm fell off.
Oh, no.
Oh, dear God, Ethel! Trevor shone his mag-like keyring at the arm and noticed something very, very strange. It had wires coming out of it.
What?
He picked up the arm and inspected it. It had a label on the inside, some sort of delivery label. Trevor brought it closer to his eyes, which were still a bit gammy from the barbecue sauce incident earlier.
He needs to wash his hands before he does anything else.
Jesus Christ, he muttered. It's Rod's church. Suddenly, Ethel made a whirring sound and slumped forward. It was pretty obvious by now that Ethel wasn't Ethel, but some sort of robotic humanoid. But why did the arm have a delivery label showing the church's address along with Vicar Gerald's name? Why?
This doesn't sound good.
Trevor could not let this lie. By now it was 7:30 p.m. and he was already livid he'd missed Emmerdale. So he made a beeline for the church. Candles flickered and a glass of red wine sat by the pulpit. Trevor cautiously made his way up to the centre aisle, still with his maglite at full beam. It hadn't dimmed one bit, and he was super impressed since he bought it from an African street vendor called Michael in Tenerife 2 years prior. Trevor could hear a whimpering coming from one of the confession boxes. He approached and peeled back the curtain. To his shock, it was Ethel. The real Ethel.
What is going on?
Oh, Ethel! You're alive! Trevor exclaimed.
Oh, thank God, Trevor. I thought he'd keep me locked in here forever.
Ethel cried. Who? Trevor asked.
Hang on, she's been in there 2 weeks, right?
2 days.
2 days in this confessional.
Yep.
So it's obviously not a weekend, this, because obviously people would have, she would have made a noise at the Sunday service. So this must be midweek then.
Midweek sausage festival.
Midweek sausage festival. Yeah. They're missing out on all the tourists.
Who had you trapped in here? Trevor asked. That horrible bastard, the Vicar Gerald. He kidnapped me 2 days ago. He's cut off one of my ass cheeks and gave it to that sausage jockey John Fuckton.
Oh no.
He then sells the meat and sausages back to Gerald. It's all a bit strange. What? Trevor said. Just then the door swung open from one of the other confession booths. The vicar appeared, holding a fork with a sausage on it.
Oh, no.
Sounds like you've confessed a little too much, Ethel.
I love the vicar, he's brilliant.
What the bloody heck is going on here, like? And why is there a robot Ethel in my shed? Trevor asked. Well, said Gerald, taking a bite of the sausage. Taste it. Looks like my plan didn't go entirely to plan. So, you see, I've got a penchant for human meat, and the annual sausage festival is a perfect cover for me to get my goods.
Oh my God, cannibalism.
You're blooming mad, mate, Trevor shouted, while shining his torch in the vicar's direction. The vicar carried on with his sordid monologue. Don't you ever realise that every year around the same time as the Sausage Festival, someone goes amiss, but then miraculously reappears? Well, I've got some news for you, old chum. They don't reappear. They're dead. Usually I'll keep them alive long enough to get some fresh meat. I then replace them with robots. Quite simple, really.
Oh, my word.
Trevor responded. Well, your robots are shit, mate. I've just pulled arm off of your latest model. The vicar took a swig of his red wine. How dare he drink the blood of Christ after these shenanigans? He's been up to, Trevor thought. Well, it's a shame it's come to this, Gerald, the vicar continued. I'll just have some 90-year-old matured meat from you, Trevor. I'm 89, you bastard, Trevor shouted. Just then, the vicar lunged forward, rushing to strike Trevor with a large candlestick from the nearby altar. Trevor fumbled at his keyring to see if he could quickly access the mini Swiss Army knife he'd won in a Christmas cracker the year before.
That's a good Christmas cracker.
Not bad, he thought to himself, as far as cracker prizes go.
There you go.
Trevor noticed his maglite was not at full power and hit the button for the highest beam in a last-ditch attempt to blind the oncoming clergyman. It was bright, so bright it filled the whole church. Oh my God! Ethel cried. Just then, a voice said, I'm not God, but I'm a good friend of his and yours. Don't know what accent that is. The light subsided slightly and a figure appeared. It was Michael, the street vendor from Tenerife.
What's he doing in the village?
Trevor was shocked. What the frig is going on? It's me, Michael. You hit the head button on your torch. I knew you'd need it one day. How? How the bloody heck did you get here from Reefy? Trevor looked in amazement. The light had subsided, but it was still enveloping them in this moment. I'm not really a humble street vendor. I'm really the Archangel Michael, the Angel of Angels, your saviour. When you needed me most. Just then, his wings extended from his back, much like Buzz Lightyear. The light fully subsided, and the vicar was no longer bearing down on Trevor. Instead, he'd been turned inside out by the blast of the holy light, and his innards and giblets lay strewn across the church floor in a messy, ready clump. The Archangel took a hold of Ethel and Trevor's hands, and they ascended to the heavens together. They assumed they had been chosen and would live an eternity of peace in the heavens above. Trevor smiled as he was no longer lonely.
Bless.
Little did they know they had also died in the blast, as the maglite torch was in fact just a fake from a normal human street vendor in Tenerife called Michael. It had blown up when Trevor had fumbled with his keyring and pressed a button to increase the light. A spark then had hit some petrol that the vicar had carelessly left out for some of his other nefarious acts. What Ethel and Trevor were experiencing was just the chemical reactions of the brain shutting down.
Oh dear.
The end.
Podcast.